Our next batch of stories include fresh talks about the revamp for Anglia Square, exhausted cyclists raise huge amounts of money for charity, a notorious roundabout could be replaced, and police are preparing for Freedom Day.
One of Norwich's most notorious roundabouts could finally be replaced in a multi-million pound scheme, and campaigners say it is long overdue. Council officers are drawing up plans for improvements to the Heartsease roundabout, which people in the area have long said is unsafe. One option due to be tabled this year is to transform it into Norwich's first Dutch-style roundabout. Such schemes have parallel cycle and zebra crossings on each arm, giving pedestrians and cyclists priority over drivers. There have been calls for improvements at the Heartsease roundabout for years, particularly for pedestrian crossing points. Tony Gray, 74, who lives in Valleyside Road, said he was keen to see improvements, but that it needed to be the right scheme. He said, "The roads weren't designed for the amount of traffic they have on them. We now have more traffic and more buses than ever before, but they've never done anything to cater for pedestrians. There's only one crossing near the roundabout, and that's only because of Aldi." The former Coleman's worker said he worried about the safety of schoolchildren going to and from the nearby Open Academy. He added plans for housing at the former Pinebanks site would increase traffic further. Norwich was awarded £32 million through the government's Transforming Cities scheme, including £3.7 million towards a £4.4 million redesign of the roundabout. A spokesman for Transport for Norwich said, "We're currently exploring several options for changes to the Heartsease roundabout, one of which is a Dutch-style roundabout, and this, along with other potential options, is being assessed against a range of criteria, such as impact on traffic flow and safety guidelines. Once each option has been explored in detail, a preferred scheme is due to be put forward for public consultation at the Transforming Cities Fund Joint Committee later this year."
A woman with osteoarthritis and incredible perseverance spent lockdown finishing a tapestry that has been 42 years in the making. Mary Dakin, living in Taverham near Norwich, bought the blank fabric at a market in Saint-Jean-de-Mont in the south of France over four decades ago while on holiday with her family. Travelling extensively round England and Scotland because of her husband's job as a Littlewoods retail manager, the incomplete 42 times 30 inch tapestry would go with them and straight into storage. So every so often, the Sunderland-born florist would get it out of the cupboard, spend a week doing 6 inches of the cross-stitch template in one of the corners, and then put it away again. Life kept getting in the way. But lockdown changed all that and gave Mrs. Dakin the perfect opportunity to do what she'd been meaning to do for years. "I spent hours on it every single day in lockdown. The weather was superb, and so a lot of the time I was just sitting stitching in my garden. I actually find it quite therapeutic." The tapestry, named A Bridge Somewhere in France, was bought when Ms. Dakin's daughter was 11. She's now 54.
Thousands of households in Norwich are being visited by police as part of a burglary crackdown. Officers will be delivering 3,942 crime-fighting kits and giving home security advice in burglary and theft hotspots in the NR2 and NR3 postcode areas of North and Central Norwich throughout June. The Safer Streets scheme, whose launch was delayed by COVID restrictions, is being funded by a government grant of more than £350,000, secured by the Office of the Police and Crime Commissioner for Norfolk. The scheme got underway with Officers PC James Swinbone and PC Beth Annis delivering the first kits to homes on Earlham Road. The kits include property marking equipment, which uniquely links items to their owners, increasing the chances of stolen items being returned, as well as stickers and posters to alert people of the scheme and deter criminals. This is about reducing crime and preventing it from happening in the first place. But if we do get it, this makes it much more likely that we can prosecute people because we can link them to the crime and we can reunite people with their property, often valuable items that cannot be replaced. As well as delivering the packs, officers will be helping residents on how to use them, giving crime prevention advice and encouraging people to sign up to the local neighbourhood watch scheme.
Talks to pave the way for a fresh application to revamp Norwich's Anglia Square have taken place between developers and opponents. It is understood that developer Western Homes has held talks with Historic England, one of the chief objectors to the previous £271 million proposal, which was rejected by the Secretary of State. The controversial plans, which included a 20-storey tower block, more than 1,200 new homes, a hotel, a cinema, car parks and new shops, were approved by Norwich City Council, but were called in by the government. Historic England, Save Britain's Heritage and the Norwich Society were among those who objected to the plans for Anglia Square, triggering the call-in. Following a planning inquiry, an inspector recommended the scheme should go ahead, but local government secretary Robert Jenrick blocked it. He said the massing of the individual blocks and the tower would be uncharacteristic in the Norwich City Centre conservation area and did not fit with policy. Western Homes had been planning a legal challenge, but abandoned it in April, pledging to go back to the drawing board and work with organisations to come up with new plans. Discussions with Historic England are understood to have taken place. During the planning inquiry, Historic England put forward an alternative vision for what could happen at the site. Designed by architects Ash Sekula, it featured just under 600 homes, the bulk at low levels, along with a sky garden. And Alan Waters, leader of Norwich City Council, said he hoped new proposals would come forward soon. He said, "I think everybody agrees that this blighted site would benefit from regeneration, from new homes, jobs and investment."
Doris Langsford was made an MPE in 2011 for her services to the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, the RNLI. She also raised money for many other charities, including Save the Children and Water Aid, and supported charities for the blind and those suffering from Alzheimer's. She did this through organising suppers, fashion shows, quizzes, raffles and many other events. Doris's daughter, Liz Hovey, said, "Mum was a born organiser. We were very proud of what she achieved." She was born Doris Casburn on July the 29th, 1932, on what she later described in a diary entry as a stormy night in the North Norfolk village of Hunworth, near Holt. Her father was a farmer, and she grew up in Corpusty, attending the local school before moving on to Fakenham Grammar School, which she travelled to and from by train every day. After leaving school, she trained as a secretary and began working for Morgan's Brewery in Norwich, where she met her future husband, Ronald Langford, who had moved to Norfolk from the northwest of England. They were married at Saxthorpe in September 1954, which was on a Thursday because that was the day the bus went to the village and guests were able to attend. After her wedding, Doris left her employment as husbands and wives were not allowed to be employed in the same company. That marked the end of her paid employment, but the start of a glorious and sparkling career in voluntary work. The couple moved a number of times in the Norwich area, including to Reefham Road in Helston, Deerham Road, where their two daughters were born, and then to Branksome Close off Newmarket Road. It was at the latter that Doris first became interested in the Norfolk branch of the RNLI. eventually fulfilling a number of roles, including president. She received a number of awards from the Norwich branch, including their gold badge for meritorious service. Her interest in the lifeboat service went back to the years of the Second World War and just after when, as a teenager, she stayed in Sheringham at the home of the Pegg family and their long history of lifeboat service. Reminiscing many years later, Doris said, "I can remember seeing a German plane being shot down and the wreckage on the beach at Sheringham. We used to travel there from our home in Corpusdy, 20 miles away." Doris joined the Norwich branch in the early 1950s and in the following 60-plus years won virtually every accolade afforded to non-crew supporters, including a very unusual gift a few years ago. By this time, Doris was confined to a wheelchair and was presented with a special blanket in royal blue and embellished with an RNLI governor's badge. Her close association with the St. Peter Mancroft led her to playing an active part in the Save the Children Fund. Along with her husband, she was also a founder member of Norwich South Rotary Club and Inner Wheel, the woman's rotary equivalent. In 2011, her work with the Norwich branch of the RNLI resulted in her travelling to Buckingham Palace with her two daughters to be made an MBE by Her Majesty the Queen. She moved to Heatherset in 2006 to be closer to her family after the death of her husband. Doris had an extensive family and leaves behind two daughters, five grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren, the latter being aged from 4 months to 17 years. She died on the 28th of May at the age of 88. A memorial service at St. Peter Mancroft is planned at a later date.
Police are preparing themselves for an influx of tourists heading to Norfolk for staycations this summer and are readying extra offices for when Freedom Day does arrive. The final step of easing coronavirus restrictions was delayed for 4 weeks by Prime Minister Boris Johnson amid concern over rising COVID-19 rates caused by the Delta variant. But Norfolk Constabulary's Chief Superintendent Julie Vendeth said she was aware that when they are eased, people will want to celebrate, and said the force would have extra officers on standby for the weekend after that happens. The four-week pause means Step 3 rules remain in place, with indoor gatherings restricted to 6 people or 2 households and outdoor gatherings of 30. With July the 19th now likely to be the day restrictions are lifted, Miss Vendis said, "Looking ahead to Monday, July the 19th, we have plans to deploy additional resources, especially at the weekend, to manage any fallout from people overdoing the Freedom Day celebrations. However, we really hope that people will continue to be sensible and act responsibly." She said that as restrictions have been eased, there has been rising demand for police services. And Ms. Vendis said, "We're expecting this trend to continue in the coming months, with Norfolk being a prime destination this summer for staycation tourists. With an influx of visitors, we anticipate this will make a very busy summer period. However, our resourcing plans are strong and we will continue to support our local communities and visitors to our county." Said the overwhelming majority of people had embraced the easing of restrictions and acted sensibly. But she said the force was seeing an increase in incidents such as assaults and antisocial behaviour, which she said was largely fuelled by alcohol. And she urged, "Policing the nighttime economy can be a big draw on our resources, and at a time when we are expecting increased demand with more people visiting the county. And my plea would be for those people to go out to have a good time, but not to overdo it. And I'm sure most people who end up in a police cell don't intend to end their night that way, but we've all seen before that too much alcohol can have unintended consequences. So the less we have to deal with issues related to nighttime economy, the more we can prioritise the calls from people who need us most."
A striking new mural has supplanted the dreary hoardings formerly occupying the old BHS store on Norwich's St Stephen Street. The mural, commissioned by Norwich's Business Improvement District, BID, is designed to enhance the sad-looking streetscape and increase footfall to an area which in recent years has been dogged by closures and the appearance of to-let signs on shopfronts. Well-known artist Andrew Wilson, whose artist name is As One Art, secured the commission against four competitors and completed the first phase of the three-part mural. He will be completing two more murals over the former Argos and Bright House hoardings.
A team of exhausted but elated cyclists has raised an amazing £43,000 for charities after pedalling from Land's End to John O'Groats. The six-man Norfolk Feloton team has completed the gruelling 960-mile challenge in 9 days. It includes farmers Nick Gowing from Mulbarton, Richard Hurst from Ormsby and Ed Wharton from Stokesby, along with barn developer Ed Masters and land drainage specialist Justin Morfitt, both from Fakenham, and Mr. Morfitt's half-brother Mike Bartlett, who was raised in Norfolk but now lives in Dorset. The vital support van was driven by Tobin Lambert, a former soldier from Halesworth who now works in woodland management. The close-knit friends were raising money for five causes close to their hearts. Farming mental health charity YANA, You Are Not Alone, East Anglian Children's Hospice, EACH or EACH, the Motor Neurone Disease Association, Muscular Dystrophy UK and the Royal Marsden Cancer Charity. And they have smashed their initial £25,000 target by raising more than £43,000. Mr. Masters said the team was over the moon with the total and proud of their achievements in this epic test of endurance. Physically, it was tough, he said. One of our team, Nick, had never cycled 100 miles in a day before, and we averaged 109 miles per day for 9 days.
A couple are carrying on a family tradition of celebrating a landmark wedding anniversary with a picture in their local newspaper. Daphne and Peter Wyatt, who have lived in Rackheath for the past 27 years, celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary. Mr. Wyatt is the third generation of his Norwich-based family to feature in the Eastern Daily Press going back several decades. His grandfather, Daniel Wyatt, celebrated 72 years of marriage to his wife in 1934, and his uncle John, who marked 60 years marriage with a special article in 1949. Mr. Wyatt's cousin, Herbert Wyatt, who celebrated his diamond wedding anniversary to Gertrude Wyatt with a picture in the paper in 1973. Mrs. Wyatt, Neve Footer, who grew up in the Milecross area of Norwich from the age of 7, said, "We wanted to celebrate our anniversary in the paper to help future generations with our family tree. We are fortunate that we're able to follow the tradition." So now we have our second feature, written by Simon Parkin. A Norfolk college is seeking to plug a skills gap to avoid the tragedy of local young people missing out on a jobs boom from major high-tech projects in the region. Your reader is Sarah Lusher.